This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue on in 1 Peter with, like newborn infants, royal priesthood, submission to authorities, leaving you an example, and husbands and wives. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Lutheran Public Radio Choir with the hymn Good Christians One and All Rejoice. We are looking forward to the fifth Sunday of Easter. It has a particular name, Cantate, and focusing on the work of the Holy Spirit in the Gospel reading in John chapter 16. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Monday afternoon, April the 22nd. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Will Whedon of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever will be helping us look forward to this coming Sunday. Dr. Katie French-Talento joins us to talk about an in vitro fertilization bill in the U.S. Senate, and then Dr. Carrie Gress will be alongside. We'll discuss pro-life messaging. Pastor Will Whedon is assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands, and he hosts the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Will, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Todd.
I suspect that Sunday with a name like Cantate is probably one of your favorite Sundays, is it?
You better believe it is. I can't go wrong with a day like this. So Cantate is like the Latin for y'all sing already, would you? And it comes from that first word of the Latin intro. Like you said, the gospel already is looking ahead to Ascension and Pentecost. And there's really not a close connection between the historic readings, the epistle and the gospel, except maybe this, that the Holy Spirit is supremely the good and perfect gift given from above. But for sure, beginning with today, the season of Easter begins to tilt wildly toward its fulfillment on the day of Pentecost, and that causes an outbreak of praise and joy and thanksgiving. You will never get Easter right until you see that everything that your Lord did for you by his suffering and dying and rising and then ascending to the Father was all accomplished so that he could send the Holy Spirit to you and establish in you a beachhead of the age to come. Pentecost, the coming of the Spirit, is the culmination of the plan of God in what we call the age of grace, which is the time when God keeps colonizing for his unending future, smack dab in the middle of an age that's tottering toward its own dead end. And in the middle of that age, God plants his Spirit and his song into the hearts of his people, and they are singing as they are marching home to Zion. I know that sounds like a lot of theological mumbo jumbo, but it really is anything but. I think when people get this, then they will be filled with joy and they'll get what God is up to in this world and in their own lives. This planting of the age to come right smack dab into the middle of this dying age, planting the song that we get to sing as we head our way home to the Father.
So are we transitioning from Easter to Pentecost in a way here?
Yeah, if it's a balance beam, this is the day when the Easter season stops being sort of looking back toward Easter and it starts looking forward to Ascension and the day of Pentecost.
What do we find in the introit for this coming Sunday?
Well, obviously, since this is cantate, it starts out with "Sing to the Lord a new song, Alleluia, for he has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations, Alleluia." Now, with the Alleluias keep on ringing out like that, you get the connection to Easter. And the "Sing to the Lord a new song" comes to you from Psalm 98. It's verse 1a and then 2b. It's sort of the middle of verse 1 and the start of verse 2 have been yanked out. But that is what the feast is calling us to do. This is a day of joy because God has revealed his righteousness in the sight of all the nations. And that righteousness is Jesus Christ. He's been revealed for the nations. And so it continues, his right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. Think about his hand spread out there on the cross, working salvation for him. He's remembered his steadfast love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. Because of that faithfulness to the house of Israel, all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Sing to the Lord a new song, Alleluia, for he has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations, Alleluia. And that new song, it doesn't just mean a song that no one has ever composed before. The new song, the theme of the new song, is the new life that has risen for us in Christ's resurrection. After he has borne the sin of the world to death on the cross, he has brought into this age that life of the age to come, which will never end. And that's what inspires the singing of the church on this great day.
I noticed that even in the three-year lectionary, the series that we do with Sean Denzer, the appointed psalm for that Sunday is 150, which is the crescendo of the entire Psalter. It sounds like a parallel.
it sure is. And that, what I love about Psalm 150 is the way that it goes through and it tells you the who, how, what, and where to praise. You know, I mean, it just literally runs through that. It's a beautiful, beautiful proclamation. And what a great exclamation point at the end of the Psalter itself. Yeah, it all ends in the praise of God. That's where life itself ends, being swallowed up in this ocean of praise to the Blessed Trinity.
What are we asking for in the collect for the day?
The collect is in one of, okay, I know. It is one of my favorites. It really is. Check this out. Oh God, you make the minds of the faithful of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. From the ancient Galatian sacramentary attributed to Pope Galatius, but probably not from him. If you look at this great collect, it asks God to really take all of the faithful, think of the diversity of the church and how many different ways of thinking there are among the people of God. And we pray that God would make them be of the same will. And what is that we ask that our wills may be directed toward? To love the stuff that he's commanded and to ache for, to desire, to long for the things that he has promised. So that as this world continues to shift and change all around us, you know, as we sing in the great evening hymn, Abide With Me, change and decay and all around I see. O thou that changest not, abide with me. We're praying that our hearts would be fixed where the true and lasting joys are found, which is where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, the home which he has promised to prepare for us, into which he will come again to bring us, right? He's going to come back into this world to bring us into that joyous kingdom and into the feast that never ends. And we pray that our hearts are going to be just sort of fixed there, set there. They're not going to be moved from the joy that's headed our way.
The first reading is from Isaiah 12, 1 through 6. What do we find there?
This almost is like a psalm in the book of Isaiah. It's usually printed like a psalm in most modern Bibles. Listen to these beautiful words. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord. For though you were angry with me, your anger turned away that you might comfort me. Stop and think about what that means with the crucifixion, right? God is angry with human sin, but his anger turns away from us and falls squarely on the Son. He sends him into the world to bear that for us. And that the result of that is that the Spirit is sent to comfort us, to comfort our hearts, and let us know we have a Savior. We have a Father who loved us by the gift of his Son, and the Son who loves us by the gift of his Spirit. And the Spirit has the job of bringing us into the kingdom that has no end. God's anger is truly turned away from us, his wrath. And then verse 2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. The Lord God being our salvation is tied up in the very name of Jesus, right? Jesus means Yahweh saves. So he comes among us to save, and because of that, we can trust in him, and we can ditch the fear. We do not need to be afraid in this age, even when things are falling apart all around us, because our strength is actually not in ourselves or in our society and its stability or in our nation or in anything like that. Our strength is found in Yahweh himself, the Lord God. He's our strength. He's our song. He's the big theme of what we're singing about. And he has become our very salvation. Because of that, verse 3, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Oh, there's so much we could say about that. We need to learn to see this is what the means of grace are. There are these little springs in this age where the joys of the age to come bubbles up from the heart of God for the people of God to learn to live by and to draw their refreshment from. That's what they're there to do. So as you draw near to the well of salvation, you can't help but think of like John 4 there, right? The Jesus and the woman at the well and the whole discussion about the living water. You will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Proclaim that his name is exalted. So the evangelism here is given to you not in the context of knocking on doors. It's given to you in the context of thanking the Lord and proclaiming what he has done in song. So verse 5, sing to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let it be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. The church knows that as she gathers around the means of grace and the song of the age to come bursts out from her, she is proclaiming in all the world the great things God has done. Nothing has done this like the church's song across so many centuries.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. We are looking forward to Sunday morning according to the one-year lectionary, the fifth Sunday of Easter. The psalm for this coming Sunday, Psalm 66, is next.
You know, when you see a cross, how can you not think of Christ? When you see a symbol, how can you not think of eternity? When you see a triangle, how can you not think of the Holy Trinity?
Edward Riojas, author of the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month, A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols.
Each of these things, they just underscore not just scripture, also the events of Christ's life, what we believe.
Learn more about A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols at issuesetc.org.
As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. Isaiah 66:3. Family is a precious blessing. It is the bedrock for all that is good in society. My name is Rahema Kavuga, Director of Synod Relations at Lutheran Church Extension Fund. In the latest issue of Interest Time, we explore the pivotal role the church plays in the family, provide resources to help strengthen families, and highlight LCMS ministries repairing those that have broken. Visit InterestTime.org to read more.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Memoria Press's award-winning Latin programs have successfully taught hundreds of thousands of students across the world. Their easy-to-use, step-by-step Latin curriculum provides students with an academic vocabulary, a mastery of English grammar, and strong critical thinking skills. If you're interested in learning more, visit them at memoriapress.com and use the coupon code LPR24 at checkout. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization, one student at a time.
Greetings in Christ, and thank you for listening to Issues Etc. If you ever find yourself visiting the Smoky Mountains in East Tennessee, please join us here at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Sevierville. We see it as a small part of our service to the church to provide sound liturgical worship opportunities for vacationing Lutherans to our area. For worship times and directions, please visit our website at splctn.com. That's splctn.com.
Congratulations to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's newest active duty Army chaplain, Joshua Schiff. LCMS chaplains deliver word and sacrament ministry to our military personnel and their families. Learn about their service at lcms.org/armedforces, lcms.org/armedforces. We're looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the one-year lectionary with Pastor Will Whedon of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Well, take us into this appointed Psalm 66, verses 1 through 8.
Yeah, so the antiphon that's assigned is from verse 5. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of man. You just have to stop and think about the fulfillment of that. When you see what God has done through the birth, the ministry, the suffering, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. He is indeed awesome in his deeds toward the children of men, because all those deeds were for the children of men. He did this to bring the lost children home to the Father and put the song of joy into their hearts. So Psalm 66, verse 1, shout for joy to God, all the earth. My cantor and I, we have an ongoing battle because she doesn't like loud noises, and I like to sing loud and have the kids sing loud too. It's like, let it rip, because is there something about singing for joy that you just don't want to be quiet? And actually, I also had this fight with cantor Henry Gierke, who would, you know, he was always like, well, you can be very joyous and be slow and reverent and quiet. And I was like, nah, Henry, I think you need to let rip sometimes, you know? The joy should be palpable in the way that we sing. You know, we have that great hymn in our hymnal, Christ Has Arisen, Alleluia, the African tune. And that thing actually just, I think it captures what the joy of Easter is all about. I was privileged to be doing a seminar, I guess we could call it, up in Concordia St. Paul this weekend. I decided, you know, we got to start with that song because it so captures the joy of the Easter season that we're still very much in the middle of. So shout for joy to God, all the earth. Then verse 2, sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name. So notice the same theme, that the song seems to carry out this mission where all the earth is being joined into the worship via the song. When the enemies come cringing, trembling before God, they are coming with the song on their lips as they fall before him. And so then verse 5 again, come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of man. And then we go right back to some of the things he did in the history of Israel. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in him who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. Again, summoning the Gentiles, warning the Gentiles, don't you be proud and exalting yourself, but then calling them into the choir which God has planted in his people Israel. And you think about the way the Psalter has spread throughout the whole world and how people of every nation and tribe and language, we all pick up the Psalter and join in the new song, singing it to the Lord and celebrating the great things he has done. So, I mean, so many times in the so-called worship wars, you have evangelism pitted against worship. And the discussion, if you remember, was there was this idea that worship is primarily for the unchurched, to bring them into the church. And we saw that that's actually not it at all. The worship is very much for the people of God, but the unbelievers really are attracted to the worship via the new song, the song that's being sung and proclaimed. Think about during the time of the Reformation and how, that one Roman Catholic complained that Luther's hymns have killed more people than his books have ever done because the joy of the song got into them. And we're going to get into one of his most joyous songs today, one of the first hymns he wrote that just encapsulates his understanding of the gospel and proclaims the great things that God has done. So the psalm calls the people of God to sing the praises of God with the confidence that singing the praises of God, this will call those who are out in the world and it will draw them to the church. I know I've shared it before, but I mean, I just want to share how that impacted my life. Because when I came into the Lutheran church as a young, well, not even a teenager yet, about 11 years old, and I heard the music for the first time. Man, it was so weird. I remember, I'm assuming it was a matin service, and the Te Deum with that key change in the middle. And it was like, I've never heard anything like this. And no kidding, it was the music that was driving the liturgy that day and the hymns that with sounds like I'd never heard before that really pulled me in. And then I was like, there's something going on here that I need to be a part of. I don't understand it. And I didn't understand. I remember I asked the pastor if I could have a copy of the hymnal to bring home. And, you know, they let me take a hymnal home. And I tried to study it and understand how the thing worked because it was pretty confusing at first. But what I mostly remember was my wonder at the sound, at the music.
What is James 1, 16 through 21 doing this coming Sunday as the epistle reading?
You know, the old reading was pretty much kind of like a lectio continua. And so throughout much of the church year, you have the leftovers of that sort of popping up during the year. That is what you have here. It was originally just assigned to this Sunday as, you know, you would be reading through the book itself. It was almost the start of the book. So James 1, verses 16 through 21. It's an absolutely beautiful text. James writes, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers, for every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." Probably a reference, of course, to the moving of the planets as opposed to the steadiness of the stars in the sky. He's like the stars. He doesn't have a variation or a shadow that's due to change. He is an unfailing fountain of goodness. So verse 18, "Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." He brought us forth. He gave us a brand new birth by the word of truth that he sent our way so that we could become the first fruits of a new creation, that we would share in the life that is coming into this world. When Christ is revealed, we get to be a foretaste, and we have an anticipation of it in our own lives. And because of this new creation, James goes on to urge, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God," meaning, you know, the righteousness God requires. "Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Always remember on that verse, it's one of Pastor Curtis's favorite verses in the King James because it has this delightful expression, all superfluity of naughtiness. It needs to all be put away as we receive this word from God, which is able to save our souls. So in James, he reminds us that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. He never changes. He is this inexhaustible fountain of good. He's the one who gave us new birth through the word of truth. New birth, because the old birth only lands you in death. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. But the new birth, which is what God sends us in Christ, makes you be born of the Spirit, and so be spirit. It brings you beyond death to the life that never ends. God wants you then to be a kind of first fruits of his creation. He wants to show off inside of you what the future of this age will really be like. And that's why, because it's that future where love has conquered everything and triumphed, that's why the apostle exhorts you to be different from the world. Now, the world is quick to speak, quick to anger, and slow to listen. Just think about social media for a while, right? What's the latest outrage of the day? I don't care which side of the great divide you're on. Both of them tend to be fueled by this sort of outrage. Well, James says, whoa, that's the world. That's not the new life that you've been given in Christ. And so the future that's coming is quick to listen and slow to speak, certainly slow to anger. Human anger cannot produce the righteousness of the age to come where love has conquered all. So James says that we need to put away all of that naughtiness, all our hasty anger and all of our nasty words and all of our vicious thought. And then he tells you how this can take place by receiving with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Quick to listen to others, yes, but above all, quick to listen to God and to his word and what he says. You let that word dwell in you. You listen to it and learn from it about the sort of life God's preparing for you and the sort of life he's preparing you for. A life where love rules, where human anger has been stilled, and where nasty words are silenced forever. The word can do it. It can give you a share in God's future if we let it. And that's how it saves. It's not a one-time saving. It's an ongoing renewal of the life that is real life in Jesus.
We're looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the one-year lectionary, the Cantate Sunday, and the work of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 16. After we visit the verse, we'll be next.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue on in 1 Peter with like newborn infants, royal priesthood, submission to authorities, leaving you an example, and husbands and wives. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
What does it mean to inwardly digest God's Word? Find out in Pastor Will Whedon's column in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery tells his story of finding confessional Lutheranism to be the most scripturally faithful theology. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod cares deeply for those who protect our nation. Are you or a loved one currently serving? Ministry to the Armed Forces would like to help. We provide devotional literature to encourage faith. Send your mailing address to lcmschaps@lcms.org or call us at 314-996-1337. Those in uniform are comforted with Psalm 28. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him and He helps me.
Christians face a culture that is hostile to Christianity. How does the gospel shape our understanding of what it is to be human, of marriage and family, of Christian vocation, of how we confess Christ? Christ and Culture, Catechesis on the Apostles' Creed is the theme for this year's symposium of the Concordia Catechetical Academy, June 19th through the 21st, at Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin. Register today at peacesussex.org/CCA.
Christological, Creedal, Confessional. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Worshipping Creation? This is Ken Ham, editor of the popular apologetic series, The New Answers Books. Today is Earth Day. For some, this is a day to remind others to plant trees, reduce pollution, or clean up trash. But for many, this is almost a religious day. If you've ever attended an Earth Day celebration, you might have seen New Age crystals for people to channel through, or other materials to worship Mother Earth. Yes, for many, it's a religious day to worship Earth. And modern Earth worship comes from the evolutionary worldview, which says we owe our very existence to the Earth. Therefore, nature is what matters. Human life is the problem impacting Earth. But that's not the biblical view of creation. But more on that tomorrow.
Discover more about the biblical worldview of stewardship and the environment at AnswersRadio.com or listen to this program again at AnswersRadio.com.
Stanza 9 of the hymn, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, speaking there about Jesus' promise of the Holy Spirit. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're looking forward to Sunday morning. According to the one-year lectionary, Pastor Will Whedon is our guest. What is the verse for this coming Sunday?
Okay, remember we're in that weird part of the church here where the gradual has disappeared, or maybe more accurately, been eaten by the verse. So the verse is actually doubled, you know. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. From Psalm 118, verse 16. And that's a really clear passage to show the Lutheran contention that the right hand of God is not to be thought of as a place. It is a power. It describes God in action, what he does. So here, the right hand of the Lord exalts humanity. And it what he does valiantly. You think about the triumph of the Lord Jesus in his passion and in his resurrection. And then we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death has no more dominion over him. Alleluia, 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 from Romans 6, verse 9, which means Jesus has left death in the rearview mirror, and because we are in him, our death is also to be thought of as being in the rearview mirror. It's not something we have to fear coming up. It's something we're going to drive right on through because he has opened up the way for us.
Take us into the gospel reading in John 16.
Some very beautiful words from the farewell discourse. Just to note that the time of Easter is very heavy on the farewell discourse. There's just so many things that are applicable, almost like in two ways, to the disciples as Jesus directly spoke them before the day of his suffering, so that they had this little period of the 3 days that they would have the angst that he's describing here. But then that becomes a picture for the Christian of the life that we have between the moment of his ascension and the day of Pentecost and the day of his glorious return. So listen up here. Verse 5, "But now I am going to him who sent me," that would be my Father, "and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart." Think about this. Jesus has become their home. Wherever he is, that's where they are. And being with him has become the greatest thing in their lives. They just can't imagine what life would be like without him being right there visibly in front of them. And yet he's told them that's coming to an end, and coming to an end in a matter of hours. So sorrow has filled their hearts. Verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, comforter, advocate, the paraclete, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So the Holy Spirit's being poured out upon humanity is the fruit of Christ completing the work that the Father gave him to do. And when he comes, the paraclete, the Spirit, he will convict or convince the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Concerning sin, because they don't believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said he would take what is mine and declare it to you. In the center of that gospel reading, you have this strange statement about the Spirit doing this convicting job on the world. Because you see, the world doesn't have the first clue about what sin is, about what righteousness is, or about what judgment is. And Luther, he just preaches this so beautifully in both the house postal and the church postal. Think about each of those things. If the world thinks about sin, they're thinking about doing and not doing and things like that. Breaking the Ten Commandments, in other words. And if they think about righteousness, they think about, well, keeping the Ten Commandments, doing what you're supposed to do. And then when they think about judgment, they think about how, well, you're going to die and stand before the judge on the last day. And all of those things are true in a way, but the Spirit's going to bring you into a far deeper truth when he convinces you of this, that the sin above all sins is the refusal to receive from him, the unbelief, the refusal to be given to. He shows you that sin because they don't believe in me. And your righteousness? He's going to show you righteousness isn't what you do and not do. It's not a matter of keeping a list of rules. Righteousness is that Jesus has gone to the Father and stands before you. Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the propitiation for your sins. And that he goes to the Father as that you don't see him anymore. The Father sees him, and he sees in Jesus the complete and perfect righteousness of the human race. And, of course, judgment. We think about our judgment. But Christ is inviting us to think about the judgment that takes place when the ruler of this world gets judged, which is when Satan is cast down by the sacrifice of the Son of God so that he loses his right to accuse humanity of their sins. Again, I would just refer all of our hearers, if you don't have a copy of the church or house postal, the church postals are available free online. And, you know, you should just read this section for this coming Sunday. It is really beautiful and glorious and to the point. But then we get to this thing about the Spirit. Jesus says, I got so many more things to tell you, but you just can't handle it right now. But when the Spirit comes, the Spirit will guide you into all truth. Now, let me clarify here. This has been misused since the time of the Montanists to argue that when the Spirit comes, he'll lead you into new truths that are not in the Scriptures. That's not at all what Jesus is intending here. He's going to guide you into all truth because of what he's preparing to do, speaking not on his own authority, but he's going to speak what he hears and declare to you the things that are to come. I remember when I was a young pastor, Todd, I always thought that referred to, I don't know, letting you in on the mysteries of the end times, that kind of thing. It took a while before it finally dawned on me. No, he declares to you the things that are to come. After the parousia, he declares to you what the kingdom of God is actually going to be like. And this is how he does it. He glorifies Jesus because he takes what is Jesus and declares it to you. He shows it to you as yours. He shows you that everything that belongs to the Son of God has been given to you. That's why he said, all that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Hear that declaring to you as declare it to you as your very own.
You're connected to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're looking forward to Cantare Sunday with Pastor Will Wheaton of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is a complete guide to Christian symbols, and it contains a rather large section on Lutherans' contribution to Christian symbolism in their time. You could find out more about A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. You can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols, The Issues Etc., Book of the Month for April. On the other side of the break, more of the gospel reading, and since it is Cantate Sunday, we will talk about some of the hymns.
O God, O Lord of heaven and earth, I bind unto myself today. O little flock, fear not the foe. Hi, this is Pastor Will Wheaton inviting you to join us for our hymn sing at the 2024 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. This year's theme, Hymns for the Battle. Making the Case is Friday, July 12th and Saturday, July 13th at Concordia University, Chicago. Find out more at issuesetc.org or by calling 618-223-8385.
Hello, this is Roy Askins, editor of the Lutheran Witness. One of our goals is to help you, as I say all the time, interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective, and that includes interpreting our contemporary culture and the major writings that have informed it. If you haven't already, you need to check out the Lutheran Witness website and see our series on literary reflections, where we have commented on works such as Huckleberry Finn, To Kill a Mockingbird, the writings of Jane Austen, and more. Visit witness.lcms.org/series to read the whole thing. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Luther Academy provides additional theological education for our mission partners around the world, specifically pastors who are asking for additional education but do not have the necessary resources in their own church bodies. By donating to Luther Academy today, you will be supplying food, housing, books, professors, and travel for Lutheran pastors who attend our conferences. To learn more about Luther Academy and how you can donate today, visit lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
Do you long for a church where the gospel of the sinner's free justification is front and center, and yet where a robust sacramental life is confessed and lived? Do you long for a church that rejoices in the sacred scriptures as the sole basis for the church's teaching and proclamation, yet values and listens to the witness of the ancient fathers and councils? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We're what you've been looking for. Find a Christ-centered, cross-focused church near you on the Find the Church page at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Will Wheaton of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is our guest. We're looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the one-year lectionary. One more question on that gospel reading in John chapter 16. So explain, kind of in the simplest terms possible, the relationship between Jesus' resurrection and then his subsequent sending of the Holy Spirit.
Well, Jesus, by being raised from the dead, has, and by his suffering and death and his resurrection, has redeemed and saved human nature. It has been saved. But now, this must come home to human persons. And for that to take place, Jesus sends forth, pours out his Holy Spirit. It's the difference between what we call objective justification and subjective justification. The Spirit is sent forth to help every person believe what Jesus has accomplished by his suffering, death, and resurrection. And I think that if when we get this, then you see that the Holy Spirit comes to you today to wake you up from settling down in this dead-end age as though it were the real thing. He comes to enlighten your understanding, to stir up your thirst for the age that's coming, so that you don't settle for your life as it is, certainly not for your life as it has been. The Holy Spirit comes to make you ache for your life as it shall be. And his church exists then to continually give you a taste of that, to give you the gift of dying to all that's dead and dying in this world, all its anger and rage and temper and bitterness and biting and devouring, everything that characterizes the fallenness of this world. And his church exists to let you leave it all behind in the baptismal water and rise with Christ to a brand new life, a life of love so strong that death's never going to be able to hold it. And in that life, song will be the fabric of your being. And that's sort of a lead-in then to our hymn of the days. Okay, to move on to that?
Yes, let's talk about Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice.
I think probably Luther's greatest hymn. He wrote a lot of really good hymns, but this was one of his early ones, and it just encapsulated his joy in the gospel. So, I mean, listen to the words again. Dear Christians, one and all, rejoice with exaltation springing. Do you realize what that means? I mean, he's saying jumping for joy, exaltation springing, and with united voice, heart and voice, and holy rapture singing. Like Lutherans don't believe in the rapture. Well, we believe in holy rapture. We believe in being captured by this beautiful gospel that's being proclaimed so that we get to, with our own voices, proclaim the wonders God has done, how his right arm, the victory won, what price our ransom cost him. Now, all that's in the plural for the first stanza, and then it shifts to I, my mess that I found myself in. Fast bound in Satan's chains I lay, death brooded darkly o'er me. Sin was my torment night and day. Man, it's sin my mother bore me. And daily deeper still I fell. My life became a living hell, so firmly sin possessed me. And because of that, my own good works all came to naught, no grace or merit gaining. Free will against God's judgment fought, dead to all good remaining. My fears increased till sheer despair left only death to be my share. The pangs of hell I suffered. But then a but changes everything. But God had seen my wretched state before the world's foundation, and mindful of his mercies great, he planned for my salvation. He turned to me a father's heart. He did not choose the easy part, but gave his dearest treasure. God said to his beloved son, it's time to have compassion. Then go, bright jewel of my crown, and bring to all salvation. From sin and sorrow set them free. Slay bitter death for them, that they may live with you forever. So, I mean, get this clear. The picture that Luther paints here is not that the Father was against you and the Son somehow turned him for you. The Father, in great mercy and love for you, sends his Son into this world to accomplish salvation on your behalf. He goes on, the Son obeyed his Father's will, was born a virgin mother, and God's good pleasure to fulfill, he came to be my brother. His royal power disguised he bore, a servant's form like mine he wore, to lead the devil captive. I mean, the devil is the clear enemy here. And then to me, he, Jesus said, stay close to me. I'm your rock and castle. Your ransom I myself will be. For you I strive and wrestle. For I am yours and you are mine. And where I am, you shall remain. The foe shall not divide us. Though he will shed my precious blood, me of my life bereaving. All this I suffer for your good. Be steadfast and believing. Life shall from death the victory win. My innocence will bear your sin, and you are blessed forever. Now to my Father I depart, from earth to heaven ascending, and heavenly wisdom to impart, the Holy Spirit sending. In trouble, he will comfort you, and teach you always to be true, and into truth shall guide you. What I on earth have done and taught, guide all your life and teaching. So shall the kingdom's work be wrought and honored in your preaching. But watch, lest foes with base alloy the heavenly treasure should destroy. This final word I leave you. Okay, now I want to say one thing about this hymn. Pastors, please do not make your congregation sing nonstop all the verses of this hymn. That's never how Luther intended these hymns to go. Rather, These are to be sung alternately so that some verses might be taken by the choir, some will be taken by the men, some by the women, some by the left side, some by the right side. This gives everybody a chance to proclaim, and it gives everybody in the congregation a chance to stop and hear the word that's being proclaimed by their brothers and sisters. And if you do that at the end of the hymn, your people will all be refreshed and joyous, and they won't be worn out and wondering why on earth pastor would do such a mean thing to them. Okay? One more hymn to talk about, if that okay? So there is another hymn in our hymnal that I think is very appropriate for this day. It's a modern hymn. When in our music, God is glorified. I will tell you, the tune in LSB is not as strong as the tune that was used for this in Lutheran worship. If I were you, I would go back and pull the Lutheran worship tune. But listen to the words. When in our music, God is glorified, and adoration leaves no room for pride. It's as though the whole creation cried, Alleluia. How often, making music, we have found a new dimension in the world of sound as worship moved us to a more profound Alleluia. So has the church in liturgy and song, in faith and love, through centuries of wrong, borne witness to the truth in every tongue. Alleluia. And did not Jesus sing a hymn that night when utmost evil strove against the light? Then let us sing for whom he won the fight. Alleluia. Let every instrument be tuned for praise. Let all rejoice who have a voice to raise. And may God give us faith to sing always. Alleluia. Ah, I love that text.
So we talked about earlier, we're making this transition from Easter to Pentecost, and it's a transition, but it's not a transition between unlike things. Talk about that.
Yeah, we're not leaving Easter behind to arrive at Pentecost. Rather, Easter is like a, I don't know how to describe it. It's a big force that comes behind you, and it's pushing you into Pentecost, because in Pentecost, Easter will have reached its fulfillment. Yes, it will still carry you on, and you're still going to be carried along until the last day when everything reaches its fulfillment. But until that moment, Pentecost is definitely the high point of everything he had come to do, because he wants to pour his spirit upon you, not just a one-time thing. He constantly wants to be giving you of his spirit. I like to say, you can't possess the spirit, but he can possess you, and you must always be receiving him.
Pastor Will Whedon is assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. He formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Pray, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. And he hosts the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Will, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Todd.
In Hour 2 of Issues Etc., we'll talk about Planned Parenthood's annual report with Dr. Michael New of the Charlotte Lozier Institute. Katie French Talento will join us to discuss an in vitro fertilization bill in the U.S. Senate, and we'll discuss pro-life messaging with Dr. Kerry Gress of the Ethics and Public Policy Center. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay with us.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Wildwood, Missouri is a proud sponsor of Issues Etc. And if you enjoy the relevant, Christ-centered teachings presented on this program, then you should come and join us at St. Paul's on Sundays at 9 a.m., where you will hear sermons that proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins, and enjoy in-depth Bible studies to help us grow as disciples. For more information, check us out at stpaullutheranwildwood.org.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Would you like to learn about the Reformation theology you hear on Issues, etc.? We'll send you a pamphlet of Luther's Small Catechism for free. It contains the biblical teachings on the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and confession and absolution. Order your free copy of Luther's Small Catechism today. Just send your name and mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org.
The Evangelical Lutheran Church holds that it is God who raises up men to serve His holy bride through His office of the holy ministry. At Concordia University Chicago, we prepare men to take the first step on the path by which God leads them to His pastoral office. Are you ready to take the step? I'm Dr. James Ambrose Lee, Chair of the Division of Theology at Concordia University Chicago. Learn more about the pre-seminary program at CUC by visiting cuchicago.edu. cuchicago.edu.
Confessional Lutherans are invited to rent a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom Table Rock lakefront home in the Ozarks. Table Rock Lake is a premier lake in the heart of the Ozarks for boating, water sports, and fishing. This log cabin-style rental sleeps 12 and is 30 minutes from Branson and 20 minutes from Silver Dollar City. Learn more by calling Swanson Estates, 713-855-2681. Be sure to mention Issues, Etc., 713-855-2681.